This morning, the sermon is actually from about the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So obviously I'm not going to read 11 chapters to you. I am going to read a couple parts of the two creation stories in Genesis as we prepare to receive God's word this morning. I would invite you to hear Genesis 1, 26 through 27, and then over in chapter 2, a couple verses, 15 and 18, and then 24 and 25. So in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals on the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." Therefore man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we read back through the book of Genesis, a book of beginnings, this sets into motion a chain of events. I would invite you first to consider the creation stories. Now, if you've not had the chance to do it, or if you've not been really intentional on doing it, I would invite you to sit down and read the two stories of creation. A lot of us kind of blend them together and say that in the beginning, God created all things, and that he did this over 6 days, and that he rested. But as you read in the book of Genesis, there are two different creation stories. One is in Genesis 1 through 24. And then the second one is in Genesis 2, 4 through Genesis 3, 24. Now what's important to remember here is that though the accounts of creation differ slightly, the thing that we still have in common, the thing that we remember, is that God still created. That God created this world. He created mankind. He created man and woman. Now the way that it is remembered that he created, they vary just a little bit. But they testify to his cosmic and universal scope, not only then, but also to us today. So what I'd like to do just over these next few moments is that we look at what happened as God set creation into order. That we explore some of those instances and then also those common threads about disruption in the created order. And that we look at God's nature for us today, related to human beings, in a way that it tells us what our next steps are, what we are to do. How do we avoid the repetitions of the past, the ups and the downs and the in-betweens? How do we avoid that? We know that God created all things, that from the beginning, out of nothing, out of chaos, he brought into existence a created order. A created order that he saw was good. He put the stars into this place, the sun and the moon, divided the darkness and the light, the waters and the grounds, and created all animals, created all plants, created humankind. He did all of these things, and he did this with his hands, with his work, his power, and the vision that he had. He brought these things into existence. Each of these things created for a purpose. And created for a special place. Now as we spend time in the book of Genesis, the question that we would perhaps ask or perhaps consider is that if God has stopped just short of the creation of man, then that perfect balance that he set into order in the beginning very well may have remained. But the problem that we've had is that the freedom of choice, the temptation, and the inherent sinful nature of man disrupted the harmony of God's perfect creation. You see, we have just had a habit of messing things up through time. That we've had a habit of taking the wrong turn, of turning left when we should have turned right, or turned right when we should have turned left, or opening our mouths when we probably should not have said anything, or perhaps being quiet when the world was demanding that Christians take a stand. You see, the disruption brought about by the decisions and the action of man, those things, if you really look at them, can generally be considered relational. In other words, it's about relationships. The relationship broken by sin and by sinful nature and bad decisions can be that of family, of friendships, of spiritual and environmental. You see, the relationship that Adam had with Eve, Adam and Eve had with God, they once had with God, was changed when Eve took of that first fruit in Genesis, whenever she ate of that forbidden tree that God had already said, eat of anything, but don't eat from this tree because you will die. So that relationship was changed. We see family strife revealed between man and woman whenever there's a inequality with the husband and the wife and how one is treated versus the other. We see envy and jealousy lead to the killing of a brother as Cain takes the life of Abel just because he is jealous and envious of what it is that and how he has found favor with God. And then, of course, we see disrespect for the for father and in general parents as we see Canaan, the son of Ham's response to Noah when he finds Noah in his drunkenness. But brothers and sisters, we also see it with the environment. How responsible have we been as good stewards of God's creation? How have we taken care of what we have been charged to take care of? How have we done this in a responsible manner? So as we look back through history, we see that we have messed some things up. We used to dump PCBs and chemicals and batteries and all of those things. Perhaps we've not loved people as we should love people. Perhaps we've not gotten along as we should have gotten along. And all throughout history, I mean, this is not just our problem today. This has been a problem from the beginning, is that we have had a habit of making mistakes. But what we must remember today is this, is that we have been called, and the Bible tells us in so many places, but as we look back just to Genesis, in Genesis 5 and Genesis 6, we see those places where a call to remain faithful is issued. But at times, we failed to make that right choice. You see, the story of Adam and Eve that I shared with the children this morning, all the way back to the beginning, it illustrates human rebellion. And it illustrates the poor nature of choices that we have made. Eve partakes from that forbidden tree in the classic commission of the first sin. And then what happens next? You can fill in the blank. What happens next? They become aware of what? They become aware of their nakedness. So let's think about that now. They become aware of their nakedness. What does that mean? They become aware of their vulnerabilities. They become aware of their sinful nature. They become aware of the fact that things are not in perfect balance anymore because they have taken of the forbidden fruit. But ultimately, what God reveals to them and to us, and then throughout the history of man, is that there is a consequence for sin. There is a consequence for sin. And we also see that early on, God's way that He dealt with sin was pretty harsh. Having observed the corruption and sinful nature of man, He sent a flood to destroy. He sent a flood to destroy the earth in Genesis 7. But what we see also is that He delivered the faithful. The household of Noah, He called to build that ark and to be on that ark. And He delivered the faithful. Just as He delivers the faithful today. You see, the works of God testify to His cosmic and universal scope. God's creation of mankind and the world from nothing in the two stories of creation reveal an all-powerful, unrestricted, creative power. Everything from the highest of the heavens to the deepest of the oceans was created by His hands, His word, and His order. And His presence is with us today. God is engaged in this world with an inclusive nature rather than one of exclusiveness. His grace, His mercy, and His love is for all mankind. And God will deliver us today and those who are lost today, just as He did the household of Noah. You see, the heavenly God, our God, is a creator. He is an electing God who helps us through decisions, a savior, one who gives blessings, a lawgiver, and a judge. You see, brothers and sisters, His law, the ultimate law, His law, why we need it in our lives, so that we don't mess things up and continue to mess things up and see history repeated. His law gives, and His word, it gives shape, it gives order, and it preserves. And what God desires from us, just as He communicated early on in creation, is a relationship. A relationship focused on Him and His word, and not the sinful nature of the world, not the places that we can succumb to the temptations, but to focus on relationships. You see, Genesis, in these first 11 chapters, reveals a story of beginnings that is followed by a pattern of rise, of fall, and deliverance. And if we look back at the history of mankind, when we're really getting up there and focusing on things that are important to us and starting to feel really important, then something happens that we get knocked to our knees. And it's only through God's great grace and mercy that we're lifted up. We see it with Adam and Eve. We see it with the people around the time of Noah. We see it with the Israelites coming out of Egypt as we move on over into other Old Testament stories. We see it with Israel in general. And I would say that we see it in our world today. The rise and fall and deliverance of mankind. From the beginning of man, from the beginning of time, we've made mistakes. We've created imbalance in the order created by God. And in these situations, God disciplined and God delivered. But today we remember that God welcomes those back, regardless of what you've done, who are willing to turn away from their sinful nature and to seek to grow in a deep and faithful spiritual relationship. Today, as we celebrate a baptism, we're reminded of the washing away of sin, the renewal of mind, body, and spirit, the newness of life that we receive when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart as our Savior. We look back today to the very beginning, and the commonality in the rise and fall is the mistake of man, and with a focus on the earthly rather than heavenly. But the promise that you and I have to stand on today is that the commonality and deliverance is the grace and mercy of a mighty God who loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die, that we might be forgiven and that we might have a promise for an everlasting life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.